The number of high school soccer players rescued from a flooded cave in Thailand is now up to 8. This is a Public News Service Daily Newscast update. I'm Mike Clifford. Also, updates on the EPA and pesticides, as well as transparency, plus the latest on major retailers dropping sales of assault weapons. But first, our top story. Reuters reports that rescue workers in Thailand Monday brought 4 boys out of a flooded cave where a 12-member soccer squad and their coach were trapped for more than 2 weeks, taking the total number rescued to 8. The Thai Navy SEAL unit, which has been overseeing the rescue, later confirmed on its Facebook page that the total number of boys brought out was 8. Authorities told Reuters the mission could take 3 to 4 days to complete. It is a race against the clock, with heavy rain expected in coming days, which would again dangerously flood the tunnels with fast-flowing and rising water. Now, 2 stories on the EPA. The battle to ban a pesticide that the state of California has linked to cancer gets a showdown today as final arguments commence before a judge in Seattle.
Conservation groups sued the EPA after former Administrator Scott Pruitt met with Dow Chemical and then decided to keep chlorpyrifos on the market, even though the agency under President Barack Obama had declared it unsafe and proposed a ban. Patty Goldman, Northwest managing attorney for the law firm Earth Justice, says multiple studies make it clear that chlorpyrifos is too dangerous to be used, especially around kids.
What's emerged in the last 20 years is incredibly solid evidence that this pesticide damages children's brains at very low exposures. Things like reduced IQ, autism, attention deficit disorder, every parent's fear.
Chlorpyrifos is one of the most widely used pesticides in the U.S., particularly in California, where it is mainly applied to golf courses and to about 50 different crops, including almonds, grapes, walnuts, oranges, and cotton. A Dow Chemical spokesman said in a statement that Dow AgroSciences remains confident that authorized uses of chlorpyrifos products offer wide margins of protection for human health and safety. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The judge with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals expected to render a decision in the next few weeks or months. Meantime, Stephanie Carson reports the departure of EPA agency chief Scott Pruitt comes at a time when the agency is trying to implement a controversial rule.
Opponents say it could reduce the amount of scientific data that is considered when drafting environmental regulations. The Strengthening Transparency and Regulatory Science Rule purports to ensure that the regulation process is accessible to all. But Rachel McIntosh-Kostrinsky with Clean Air Carolina says although data transparency is a good idea, there are implications if it's required as part of a regulation.
If it isn't acted as a rule from EPA, it can cause EPA to eliminate scientific studies and therefore potentially enacting this rule would eliminate the use of certain science and therefore impede environmental regulation.
Clean Air Carolina is joining medical advocates for healthy air and other environmental groups in opposing the rule, which currently is open to public comment until August 16th. Late last month, the 44-member scientific advisory board to the EPA asked the agency not to revise or finalize the rule until it can analyze it and offer comments.
The EPA already has an external review body known as the Clean Air Science Advisory Committee. Its mission is to provide a diverse and independent peer review of the science considered by the agency when establishing policies. And while the Justice Department asked for more time to reunite children and parents separated at the southern U.S. border, it was red tape that delayed the reunion of a 31-year-old Guatemalan mother and her 8-year-old daughter seeking refuge status in Massachusetts. It took 55 days to reunite Angelica Gonzalez-Garcia with her daughter on Thursday at Boston's Logan Airport. Attorney Susan Church said it took a Herculean effort to reunite them.
The hope is always the fact that so many people join together to help this one family. And I suspect similar group efforts are happening around the country. It's just absolutely infuriating that it takes such extensive use of resources to reunite a mother with her child.
And finally, Linda Barr reports after the Parkland, Florida school massacre, across the nation, Dick's Sporting Goods, L.L. Bean, and Walmart stopped selling what some call assault weapons and high-capacity magazines.
Some Democratic lawmakers in Maine would like to see the same steps from the Kittery Trading Post in the town of Kittery. Last week, they sent a letter asking the retailer to voluntarily stop selling some types of guns and not sell to buyers under 21 or risk a boycott. But they're getting some Republican pushback. State Senator Ron Collins accuses the Dems of harassing a local business.
I don't understand why they would try to jeopardize a company in southern Maine who has been a great neighbor to everybody in that area of southern Maine by trying to suggest a boycott. I think that's just not necessary.
A Maine GOP delegation penned an open letter in support of gun sales, including a mention of the gun safety classes Kittery Trading Post also holds. Owners of the sporting goods store haven't weighed in yet on calls to change their policies.
With gun violence reform legislation stalled in Congress, York County Democrats say they want local change. Their view is that there's no reason to sell firearms that could shoot 100 rounds a minute, and they plan to keep the pressure up. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.